Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. It's the time of year again when we get to open a new season for the Ocean State Theater, and Amy Turner is here. Welcome back, Amy.
Hi, Mike. Always fun to be here.
Nice to have you with us once again. I think we were talking off air that this is 7 or 8, 9 years almost that we've been doing this kind of thing with Ocean State Theater Company.
I think it's pretty close, yeah.
So another exciting season coming up. You had a great season last year and a successful summer interim season.
It was so much fun with Guys and Dolls and Always Patsy Cline in our summer camp. It was, man, it flew by.
It did fly. And both of those productions were tremendous, as all the shows at Ocean State Theater. If you haven't made it to Ocean State Theater, you've got to get down there. Just a stone's throw from the airport, as Amy says on the commercials.
Yes.
And with us today is the star of the first production coming in, which is My Fair Lady. And Peter Tedeschi is here. Welcome, Peter.
Hi, Mike. Nice to be here.
Nice to have you with us. And Peter is going to be playing the part of Alfred P. Doolittle. I remembered that all by myself, the P part. And it's wonderful to have a show like this to start off the season. Amy, why My Fair Lady?
Oh, come on. Why not?
All right.
Really, I think, is the question. My Fair Lady has truly been a classic from the moment that it was conceived, I think. You know, it's been articulated from an opera and an original poem and all of that, but it really came to life with George Bernard Shaw's play Pygmalion. I think most people know that. If they don't, that was in the early 1900s. And it was, I think, one of the smartest plays that was really written about relationships and judgment and you know, all kinds of social issues at the time. And Lerner and Lowe were smart enough to really hold on to that original script that Shaw wrote and take all of the best parts, sometimes literally word for word, and interject them into both the script and even in the songs. It became, at the time, the longest running Broadway show, running over 6 years. And then beyond that, it was this unbelievable movie, Academy Award winning film, that also just stayed really, really true to that original version by Shaw. And so I think it's ingrained. It's smart, but it's glorious, and the costumes and the pageantry and Eliza, you know, it's just everything.
And if I can interject, Amy's vision of the show is brilliant. It's just gorgeous. It's literally gorgeous.
There you go. And Peter, you've had a couple days now to get to know Amy. But in your background, which we'd like to find a little bit about before we get to our first song, although a Rhode Islander, you've never performed in Rhode Island until this opportunity at Ocean State Theater, right?
That's very true. I'm so excited to be here, and I'm so excited to be working at home. I am from Rhode Island. I was born in Providence, and I grew up in northern Rhode Island. And
you can say Woonsocket.
Okay. Yeah, I grew up in Cumberland and then Woonsocket.
Okay.
And I went to high school in
That's
in
like
North
a world traveler in Rhode Island speak, yeah. Right?
It is.
Providence
it is like,
to Cumberland to Woonsocket.
Absolutely. And when people, it's funny because when I have to go somewhere a half hour when I'm here back home, people say that's so far away. And of course, I live in New York City now. And sometimes people who know New York City, it can take me half hour to get cross town on the cross town bus. And half hour's not a big deal anymore, but in Rhode Island, it's far.
It's still a deal.
Yeah, so. I became an actor after I'd already moved away. And so I've worked a lot in New York, and I've worked a lot at regional theaters all over the place, including in Massachusetts, in Berkshires, and some other places in Massachusetts. And, you know, there haven't been a lot of theaters in Rhode Island, and the opportunity hasn't presented itself until now. So it's very, very exciting that I'm working in my home state.
Well, we're going to find out a little bit more about that, but let's get to some of the great music from the show. And this first one that you want to start with, Amy, Wouldn't It Be Lovely, right?
It is lovely. And it really is about Eliza's dream, her fantasy, which is really simple, that she just wants to be comfortable. I think most of your listeners are going to recognize this
song. You can
song.
Say our listeners. That's all right. It's our listeners.
It's rather dull in town. I think I'll take me to Paris. The missus wants to open up the castle in Capri. Me doctor recommends a quiet summer by the sea. Wouldn't it be lovely?
All I want is a room somewhere, far away from the cold night air, with one enormous chair. Oh, wouldn't it be lovely? Lots of chocolate for me to eat, lots of cold, like in lots of heat, warm face, warm hands, warm feet. Oh, wouldn't it be lovely? Oh, so lovely, sitting abso-blooming lewdly still. I would never budge till spring crept over me windowsill, someone's egg resting on my knee, warm and tender as he can be. Takes good care of me. How wouldn't it be lovely, 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 lovely?
All I want is a room somewhere far away from the cold night air.
How wouldn't it be lovely? Lots of chocolate for me to eat, lots of coal, making lots of heat, warm face, warm hands, warm feet. How wouldn't it be lovely? Oh, so lovely, sitting abso-blooming lewdly. I would never budge till spring crept over me windowsill.
Someone's tender resting on my knee, warm and tender as she can be.
Who takes good care of me?
Going to be listening to lots of familiar music this evening. Just about every song from the show is pretty well known. And Peter, you grew up in Woonsocket area, Cumberland, Woonsocket, and there's not a lot of British accents there, right?
There are not. There are some French accents.
There are, occasionally,
yes,
you'll hear,
hear that. I don't happen to be French, but I do speak English, so
right.
That helps. Yeah, you know, I have a decent ear for accents, and I've always enjoyed a Cockney accent, so I'm very fortunate. Now, I've never played a Cockney character before. I played British characters before, and I'm
now,
really
some people
fun.
Are going to say, wait a minute, what's the difference between British and Cockney?
Well, Cockney is one of the many British accents.
One
of the things we have here in New England, which is interesting, if you go to a place like Kansas, the accent, you can drive hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles and the accent isn't different. But as we know here in New England, you go from town to town and the accent's different. I mean, the accent is different in Bellingham, Mass. Than to Woonsocket, Rhode Island, and that's, you know, right
a mile
on the
and
line.
A half, right.
And Cranston has a different accent than Warwick, and
right.
You know,
yeah.
So in New England, we're used to that, and it's very much the same in England, where from place to place, there are different accents, and I'm not an expert on British, you know, language, but...
disclaimer.
a little disclaimer here, but Cockney are people who are, I believe, right in the center of London, and they have their own very unique accent. You know, I live in New York now, and a Brooklyn accent's different from a Bronx
sure,
accent. It's that
course.
Kind of a thing.
Right.
So in Cockney, they kind of make their I's a little oi, you know, oi don't, you know, that kind of stuff. And the A's, like in stay, would be sty, things like that. The L's are a little more W, so like my character, Alfred P. Doolittle, would be like, Alfred P. Doolittle.
I see. All right. Back to you, Amy.
Jolly good.
I feel like I'm in Oliver, too. Same area, I guess, of London, if I'm not mistaken, was Oliver, but not important to this.
True, but irrelevant. No.
Right. True, but irrelevant. A little fact there.
Well, and I think that people do. I hope that folks that are familiar with this, you know, really the crux of this story is this uneducated, deep in the city, which would be sort of the equivalent of us, like, deep in the country, if you will, young lady who just wants to better herself, and she does stumble upon a celebrated dialect coach and speech teacher and expert, and comes to an arrangement where she learns to speak proper English so that she can get a better job. And that's sort of the crux of all of this. So it's interesting how the dialects come into this, and,
right. And
it adds
not,
to a lot of fun, too.
That's not giving anything away. That happens right at the beginning of the show,
oh, yes.
Right? That
mm-hmm.
the two gentlemen decide to have a wager, correct?
Yes.
And see if they can teach this know-nothing to speak proper.
Yeah. And, you know, she's really the beneficiary of it. You know, it's interesting that it's all the three of them. So there's another gentleman who's also a dialect expert. So the Pickering is his name, Colonel Pickering, and Higgins come up with this bet. But in turn, they pay for her lessons as part of the bet. So she really benefits from this.
Right.
And she's in on it, so to speak, right from the beginning. And it's really how quickly can she learn?
Probably takes a little bit of luck.
But then Papa comes in.
Oh. Papa does come in. And he's her connection to the world that she comes from.
Yeah. I'm a little disappointed that neither one of you ran with my segue. It probably takes a little bit of luck.
Do I hear a song coming on?
Do I hear a song coming on? And by the way, it's the song that I sing.
Yeah, uh-huh. It's a Doolittle song.
Here we go.
The Lord above gave man an arm of iron so he could do his job and never shirk. The Lord above gave man an arm of iron, but with a little bit of luck, with a little bit of luck, someone else will do the blinking work. With a little bit, with a little bit, with a little bit of luck, you'll never work. The Lord above made liquor for temptation, to see if man could turn away from sin. The Lord above made liquor for temptation, but with a little bit of luck, with a little bit of luck, when temptation comes, you'll give right in. With a little bit, with a little bit, with a little bit of luck, you'll give right in. Oh, you can walk the straight and narrow, but with a little bit of luck, you'll run amok. The gentle sex was made for man to marry, to share his nest and see his food is cooked. The gentle sex was made for man to marry, but with a little bit of luck, with a little bit of luck, you can have it all and not get hooked. With a little bit, with a little bit, with a little bit of luck, you won't get hooked. With a little bit, with a little bit, with a little bit of blooming luck.
The Lord above made man to help his neighbor, no matter where, on land or sea or foam. The Lord above made man to help his neighbor, but with a little bit of luck, with a little bit of luck,
When he comes around, you won't be home.
With a little bit.
But with a little bit of luck, a man can duck. Oh, it's a crime for man to go philandering and fill his wife's poor heart with grief and doubt. Oh, it's a crime for man to go philandering. But with a little bit of luck, with a little bit of luck, you can see the bloodhound and find out.
With a little bit.
Support his children, which is the right and proper thing to do. A man was made to help support his children, but with a little bit of luck, with a little bit of luck, they'll go out and start supporting you.
My Fair Lady is going to be presented at the Ocean State Theater starting next Wednesday. Previews on Wednesday and Thursday, and then opening night Friday.
That's right.
And tickets can be purchased by going to the website, right, Amy?
Yeah, it's where the most of our information, we always send people first if they have access to a computer, oceanstatetheater.org, O-R-G. So that's pretty easy. But if you do want to call up, our phone number is 401-921-6800, or of course stop by Jefferson Boulevard and come in and see us any day afternoon.
And the show's going to be running for just almost 4 weeks, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so it's a long run, and but don't let that slow you down from getting tickets in advance, because like everything at Ocean State, becomes very popular very quickly.
Yeah.
And if you want to get the best seats, although there's not a bad seat in the house.
There really isn't,
it's,
you know,
it's a great
theater
for that.
It's not just a thing to say.
That's right.
It all the time from a lot of different people. So
I can attest to that, too, as an audience member, because the first thing I saw there as an audience, I had a certain seat, and then I saw that I had a friend sitting in a different place, and he was with somebody who didn't, well, somebody didn't show up, so I switched seats. So I sat in two completely different in one show, and they were equally good.
It's it's amazing. I've had the opportunity to go and have what you might call great seats right in the center of the theater, and they're terrific. But I've also had opportunities to sit in the very last row in the corner when I was just kind of sneaking in for a production, and sat there, and it's great. There is not a bad seat there. Free parking, very easy to get to, so all reasons to go and see the production. And that's going to run till October 19th. So from this coming Wednesday to October 19th, let's try to get one more song in here before we take the break, or at least a piece of a song, and tell us about I'm Ordinary.
I'm an Ordinary Man is Henry Higgins' conversation with Colonel Pickering about why he's not romantically involved with any woman and has no intention of being that, because he'd rather just be an ordinary man.
All right. We'll listen to a piece of that and then take a short break and be back with more of My Fair Lady coming up at the Ocean State Theater Company.
I find the moment I let a woman make friends with me, she becomes jealous, exacting, suspicious, and a damn nuisance. And I find the moment that I make friends with a woman, I become selfish and tyrannical. So here I am. Confirmed old bachelor, and likely to remain so. After all, Pickering, I'm an ordinary man. who desires nothing more than just the ordinary chance to live exactly as he likes and do precisely what he wants. An average man am I, of no eccentric whim, who likes to live his life free of strife, doing whatever he thinks is best for him. Just an ordinary man. But let a woman in your life, and your serenity is through. She'll redecorate your home from the cellar to the dome, then go on to the enthralling fun of overhauling you. Oh, let a woman in your life, and you're up against a wall. Make a plan and you will find she has something else in mind. And so rather than do either, you do something else that neither likes at all. You want to talk of Keats or Milton? She only wants to talk of love. You go to see a play or ballet and spend it searching for her glove. Oh, let a woman in your life and you fight eternal strife. Let them buy their wedding bands for those anxious little hands. I'd be equally as willing for a dentist to be drilling than to ever let a woman in my life. I'm a very gentle man, even-tempered and good-natured. Never hear complain, who has the milk of human kindness by the quart in every vein. A patient man am I, down to my fingertips, the sort who never could, ever would, let an insulting remark escape his lips. Just a very gentle man. But let a woman in your life, and patience hasn't got a chance. She will beg you for advice, your reply will be concise, and she'll listen very nicely, then go out.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Ocean State Theater Company's Amy Turner and Peter Tedeschi, who's playing Alfred P. Doolittle in the upcoming My Fair Lady, opening on Wednesday. Now, Peter, getting to, we mentioned in the first segment that your first time here in Rhode Island, so probably your first time working with Amy. You mentioned that she's bringing something very special to this production of My Fair Lady, but what about the theater itself, other people you're working? Yeah, this is so far a good experience, right?
Oh, it's wonderful. Everybody is filled with joy and love for the work and this great sense of ensemble. I come from like a ensemble theater background of everyone working together, and we had it from the minute I walked through the door. I didn't know anyone in this cast. Well, actually, I knew one person, but just kind of, you know, not
casually,
that closely.
Right? Yeah.
And everyone is in sync with each other. Everyone's enjoying each other's company. In any situation, whether it's a social situation or a professional situation, not even in the theater, sometimes there's that one bad apple that ruins it for everybody. Well, there's no bad apple. Not even a half a bad apple. Not even a little tiny worm bite. I mean, everybody's just wonderful. And it's been such a joy. I look forward to getting up and going there in the morning and being around that energy.
It's amazing to me that after all these years, as we also mentioned in the first segment, that, Amy, you've been doing this here in Rhode Island. We hear the same thing over and over again about how great you are.
Well, you know, it's important to me. I take what I do very seriously, and I like to surround myself with people that do understand that theater is important. It's important to everybody. It's important to life itself. It teaches us, and it can save lives. It really can. It can certainly change lives.
I mean,
there's no doubt about
lives.
That.
Absolutely, yeah.
And, you know, and it's a strong influence in the quality of life, but beyond that, the economy and the social context that is community, and, you know, don't get me started. But having said that, at the end of the day, it's such hard work and it's such a compacted period of time. I think there has to be fun involved too, because really that's what I think the audience ultimately wants, is to come in and see people do things on stage that they either can't or won't or don't think they can do in a joyful manner, because it should always be a celebration. So, you know, I humbly take great pride that we, everyone on the staff at Ocean State Theater Company, sort of create that environment, because it has to be. We call it the ultimate team sport. And we believe very strongly that it is that. And it's fun because, you know, you kind of alluded to some other folks in the cast, and Richard Costa and Jessica Wagner are our Higgins and our Eliza, and neither one of them have worked here for us before, so we're thrilled to get to know them. Incredibly talented. I think the audience is just going to be deliciously happy with them. But
they blow me away in rehearsal.
Yeah. Oh, but then Todd Berkich, who's playing Colonel Pickering, has done a show both at the Barn when we were producing the shows down in Matunuck, and also here in our new space. So it's fun to have, you know, him back, people that we know, and the ensemble ripples out beyond that with a great mix, like we always try and do, with folks that we know, with folks that we don't know. So I appreciate that. Thank you, Peter.
It's great. And we'll going to get to another piece of music. This one is another very well known, The Rain in Spain.
Yeah, and this is this beautiful moment of discovery. All this hard work and pays off, really. And she finally gets it.
Quit, Professor Iggins. Quit, Professor Iggins. Hear our plea or payday, we will quit. Professor Iggins, A, not I, O, not how, pounding, pounding in our brain. A, not I, O, not how, don't say right, say rain.
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
Again.
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
I think she's got it. I think she's got it.
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
By George, she's got it. By George, she's got it. Now once again, where does it rain?
On the plain, on the plain.
And where's that soggy plain?
In Spain, in Spain.
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
In Hartford, Hereford, and Hampshire,
hurricanes hardly happen. How kind of you to let me come.
Now once again, where does it rain?
On the plain, on the plain.
And where's that blasted plain?
In Spain, in Spain.
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain. The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
We've been listening to the Broadway cast with Rex Harrison and Julie Andrews for a recording, and two icons in the world of both movie and Broadway. And Peter, does that ever cross your mind that you're playing the part that Richard Chamberlain or Rex Harrison or somebody like that played? And do you try to be like them, or do you bring your own flavor?
Well, I think it's an interesting question. I like to think I bring my own. I mean, I'm sure I bring my own. I know actors who refuse to watch someone else's performance. I'm not so dogmatic about that because, you know, I haven't been able to go through my whole life without ever seeing the movie of My Fair Lady. Everyone's seen it on television. So it's somewhere back there anyway. So I don't worry about it. But I certainly don't study it either because I don't want to copy somebody else. But it's not something I worry too much about because it's, you know, it's... It's as if a director would say to you, okay, I want you to give me Laurence Olivier's Hamlet. No, I'm not crazy about that one. Give me Kenneth Branagh's Hamlet. No. You know what? Make it, you know, you can't do that. You ultimately can only really bring your own
work. Bring yourself, right. Yeah. Bring yourself. Okay. And Amy, that's usually a good thing that you try to, I imagine you try to pull out of people, let them bring their own thing to the show.
Yeah, definitely. And my audition process is really, I think, I focus on two things. What is it that I really want? And so, you know, let's take like Eliza, for instance. I really want, once those glorious songs start coming out of her mouth, to sound glorious. So, you know, first I'm looking for what I expect, and I think the audience is going to expect. But then secondarily to that, I really want to find an actor that's willing to show me who they are and what they can bring and have a sense of playfulness about it. I do a lot of cold readings, which means that I don't give people a lot of chance to get to study the script or anything, because I just kind of want to know like what's their essence that they're going to bring, and then the rest takes care of itself. At least that's what I find.
Amy did a wonderful thing. The very first time I ever auditioned for her was several years ago for something else, and she handed me something to do that was very complicated, and she said, and basically gave me no time, and said, just do it and stink. And it was so liberating, because there was no way to give an opening night performance in 30 seconds of looking at something.
Right.
And sometimes you feel an auditor, a person, you know, holding an audition, wants that.
And for sometimes Amy, they do,
yeah,
sadly.
And they do. They do. Yeah. And I was like, well, gee, we're not just going to memorize our lines and show up on opening night. We are going to rehearse, right? And, you know, when Amy gave me that permission to stink, it was just freeing to allow you to create and to be an artist in that moment. And you're like, okay, I don't have to impress. I just have to make some strong choices and see what I can do. And it was. I really appreciated it. And it's why I have come back to audition for Amy over the years.
I know, because that's funny, right? 5 years later, you finally get the job.
Exactly.
You know, because the puzzle pieces, I always call it a puzzle. And, you know, sometimes just a great puzzle piece just doesn't quite fit in. And this time it did. And we're thrilled to have Peter here. And he's going to be so, so joyful in this part.
Well, I hope you can dance all night after you start the show.
Fortunately, it's Eliza segue that has to do that. Yes.
That one we got, right?
It is, right. Boy, and I don't know. Isn't this the song, right? This is the song.
This is it. This is the song. Here we go.
Bed, bed, I couldn't go to bed. My head's too light to try to set it down. Sleep, sleep, I couldn't sleep tonight, not for all the jewels in the crown. I could have danced all night, I could have danced all night, and still have begged for more. I could have spread my wings and done a thousand things I've never done. I'll never know what made it so exciting, why all at once my heart took flight. I only know when he began to dance with me, I could have danced, danced, danced all night.
It's after three now, don't you agree now? She ought to be in bed.
I could have danced.
You're tired out.
All night.
You must be dead.
I could have
danced. Your face is drawn. Your eyes are red. Now say goodnight. Please turn out the light, please. It's really time for you to be in bed.
I could have spoken.
To come along. Do as you're told. Or Mrs. Pierce is apt to stir. You're up too late. This picture is fate. Miss, you catch a cold.
I'll never know what made it so exciting. Why all at once? I could have done. what made it so exciting. Why all at once my heart to collide? I only know when he began to dance with me, I could have danced, danced,
Amy, let's try to sneak one more tune in before we take the next break. And On the Street Where You Live, tell us about that one.
Oh, well, for those who aren't familiar with the show, when Higgins does introduce Eliza to society, a young man, Freddie Eynsford Hill, becomes quite smitten with her. And he wants nothing more than to be near the place that she is, which is the street where she lives.
All right. Well, listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more.
Walked down this street before, but the pavement always stayed beneath my feet before. All at once am I several stories high, knowing I'm on the street where you live. Are there lilac trees in the heart of town? Can you hear a lark in any other part of town? Does enchantment pour out of every door? No, it's just on the street where you live. And oh, the towering feeling, just to know somehow you are near. Feeling that any second you may suddenly appear. People stop and stare, they don't bother me, for there's nowhere else on earth that I would rather be. Let the time go by, I won't care if I can be here on the street where you and stare, they don't bother me, for there's nowhere else on earth that I would rather be. Let the time go by, I won't care if I can be here on the street where you.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Ocean State Theater's Amy Turner and the star of My Fair Lady, Peter Tedeschi, who is a local Rhode Island man made good.
Thank you very much.
From the big city in New York, and we talked about his background and interesting audition procedures that go on and working here at Ocean State Theater. But speaking of Ocean State Theater, I just want to get to Amy and ask her about the upcoming shows for the rest of the season before we get back to My Fair Lady. As usual, great season lined up, starting with My Fair Lady, and then what?
Well, on Halloween night, we're opening Dial M for Murder, a great suspense thriller. A lot of people are familiar with it as a Hitchcock movie, a gorgeous film. I'm excited about that one. I will also be directing Dial M, a great way to spend your fall. We have announced our holiday production, which will be Meet Me in St. Louis. Really a lovely show about family and has that amazing classic holiday song, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Have yourself. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah. That's our holiday production. Tickets are on sale for that as well. Mm-hmm. So coming into the new year, we'll do a show called The Meeting. It's a play. It's an imagined conversation, if you will, between Malcolm X and Martin Luther King Jr., two men, obviously with the same goal, but very different ideas about how to achieve
different
that
approaches,
goal.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
The last 5 years is a Jason Robert Brown musical. A lot of people are familiar with his work. If you're not, it's a contemporary style of writing. It's a unique show that it tells a relationship from beginning to end from the two people's perspective, his going one direction from beginning to the end and hers going, is that the right way or is it the opposite, from the end to the beginning?
Well, you have to buy a ticket and find out.
You'll have to buy a ticket and find out. Yeah. And then the comedy, Lend Me a Tenor, one of the most brilliant farces ever written, door slamming, mistaken identity. It just, you know, that classic, wonderful, you know, your sides will hurt laughing show. And then we close with Into the Woods, Stephen Sondheim's mixed up, very adult fairy tale. That's also going to be a movie opening on Christmas Day. So folks can go and see it, celebrate their holiday, and then in the spring come and see it where it began, which is on the stage, and our interpretation of it.
Excellent. And now back to My Fair Lady. And Peter, one of the things at Ocean State Theater that's really cool is that there is always a live orchestra or band or ensemble of some kind to help you along musically. And this next song you get to sing with them, called Get Me to the Church on Time, right?
Yeah, it's a wonderful song. It's so filled with joy and humor and delicious lines in it. You know, there's lines like stamp me and mail me. I mean, it's so clever. it's so fun to sing. And you know, I have a personal interest in this. When I was a little boy, my Irish grandmother used to sing this song, and I thought, as a little boy, not knowing musical theater at the time, I thought that it was some little Irish ditty. And little did I know, it shows you how pervasive this music is in our culture. And little did I know that I would grow up.
Is your grandmother still with us?
Oh, no.
Okay. But, it would have been great for her to see you.
This way she gets to hear him every night.
Right.
Best seat in the house.
Exactly. All right. Here we go with Get Me to the Church on Time.
A few more hours before they tie the knot.
There's drinks and girls all over London, and I've got to track them down in just a few more hours.
I'm getting married in the morning. Ding dong, the bells are gonna chime. Pull out the stopper, let's have a whopper, but get me to the church on time. I got to be there in the morning, spruced up and looking in me prime. Girls, come and kiss me, show how you'll miss me, but get me to the church on time. If I am dancing, roll up the floor. If I am whistling, let me out the door. For I'm getting married in the morning. Ding dong, the bells are gonna chime. Kick up a rumpus, but don't lose the compass, and get me to the church. Get me to the church. Be sure and get me to the church on time. Mail me, but
get me to the church on time. I got to be there in the morning, spruced up and looking in me prime.
Some bloke who's able, lift up the table,
and get me to the church on time.
high.
If I am flying, then shoot me down. If I am wooing, get her out of town.
For I'm getting married in the morning. Think not to be my bonnet's high.
Feather and Tommy, call out the army. But get me to the church.
Well, another hour has flown by as we spend time with the Ocean State Theater and Amy. And one of the things I did want to mention, Amy, is that there are lots of other shows besides the one you mentioned, the upcoming productions. We have some independent, if you will. You're coupling up with Rising Star.
Yeah, we did Catch Rising Star. We partnered with them, presented Bobby Collins a little while ago. We'll be announcing some more comedy shows coming up in the future. It was a really big success. It was great fun. So folks can check out the website for that. A Rhode Island native, Ida Zecco, who's a brilliant historical cabaret performer, is bringing her one-woman show to us in November. Your a cappella group, American A Cappella, we'll be doing a holiday concert. We start our Family Fun Fest in November, and that'll continue. We have 7 productions this year that we'll be presenting. So there's a lot of other things besides the main stage shows. So, go on the website. If we don't have your email, call us up. Make sure we have it so you get the email notifications about the different shows. And just check us out or like us on Facebook, because everything's also announced on Facebook. But yeah, we're trying to just bring as much as we can.
And it's oceanstatetheater.org for the website.
Yep.
And the phone number, if you want to call up,
401-921-6800.
All right. Peter, thank you so much for coming in today and bringing some life to Alfred P. And I look forward.
Well, he brings life to me, as I hope the audience sees.
It'll be great to watch and listen. And that's going to open on Wednesday night. Previews on Wednesday and Thursday, opening night, Friday night. And then Sunday, don't forget, if you're there on Sunday, we have the Talkback session, Conducting Conversations Live, where you can ask Peter anything you want, and I'll just kind of moderate it and see if your questions are okay.
It's always a really lively conversation, isn't it?
Yeah, it usually is. We're going to listen to one more tune, and again, very, very familiar. Tell us about I've Grown Accustomed to Your Face.
Well, this really is the moment at the end of the play where Henry Higgins realizes that that he thinks fondly of this young Eliza who's come into his life.
All right. We'll listen to that and then see the rest of you next week on Conducting Conversations.
I've grown accustomed to her face. She almost makes the day begin. I've grown accustomed to the tune she whistles night and noon. Her smiles, her frowns, her ups, her downs are second nature to me now. Like breathing out and breathing in. I was serenely independent and content before we met. Surely I could always be that way again. And yet, I've grown accustomed to her looks, accustomed to her voice, accustomed to her face.
Marry Freddy. What an infantile idea. What a heartless, wicked, brainless thing to do. But she'll regret it. She'll regret it. It's doomed before they even take the vow. I can see her now, Mrs. Freddy Ainsford Hill, in a wretched little flat above a store. I can see her now, not a penny in the till and a bill collector beating at the door. She'll try to teach the things I taught her and end up selling flowers instead, begging for her bread and water while her husband has his breakfast in bed. In a year or so, when she's prematurely grey and the blossom in her cheek has turned to chalk, she'll come home and lo, he'll have upped and run away with a social climbing heiress from New York. Ah, poor Eliza. How simply frightful. How humiliating. How delightful. How poignant it'll be on that inevitable night when she hammers on my door in tears and rags, miserable and lonely, repentant and contrite. Will I take her in or hurl her to the wolves? Give her kindness or the treatment she deserves? Will I take her back or throw the baggage out? I'm a most forgiving man, the sort who never could, ever would, take a position and staunchly never budge. Just a most forgiving man. But I will never take her back. If she were crawling on her knees, let her promise to atone, let her shiver, let her moan, I will slam the door and let the hellcat freeze. Marry Freddy. Ha! But I'm so used to hear her say, good morning every day. Her joys, her woes, her highs, her lows are second nature to me now. Like breathing out, breathing in. I'm very grateful she's a woman and so easy to forget. Rather like a habit one can always break. And yet I've grown accustomed to the trace of something in the air, accustomed to her face.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.